Good morning. I'm going to ask you all to stand up and face the back of the room and look to the far left and see the man in the box. I wanted to point him out because when I refer to my husband or Nate in a bit, you'll know who I'm talking about. Also, I contemplated having y'all turn your chairs around so I could stare at the back of your heads as I normally do. But go ahead and take a seat. So, three things I wanted to share with you. Nate and I have attended this Agape since 1998. And we've served in that box since 1999. So... When Jenny first asked me if I was interested in speaking, my first response was, "What you talking about, Willis?" And that was September 15th of 2024. Okay, also, I wanted to ask you if any of you have seen a miracle. And if you should raise your hands if you've ever seen a miracle. And those of you that haven't raised your hands, you have seen a miracle, because me standing up here today is a miracle. So before I get started, I'm going to ask you to overlook a few things. First, my shaky voice. And second, I'm most likely going to be too busy reading from my paper to make eye contact with y'all. And if there is a long pause, assume it's for dramatic effect, but it's probably because I lost my place on my notes. And so, if what I'm sharing seems random and my thoughts jump back and forth, go ahead and jump with me. You'll get to experience what my husband does on the daily. So let's go ahead and pray. Father God, I ask that you use me to bring encouragement in what is shared today, that they hear you and not me, that every word spoken would minister to the very core of those hearing it. May we leave here with more hope, more peace, and more of you. So, have any of you ever been driving somewhere unfamiliar, and as you get close, you instinctively turn down your radio? Because somehow that helps you see better. So most of us have done that. Sometimes removing the noise helps us notice the small stuff. That's why we close our eyes to pray, not because God needs it, but because we do. In 1 Kings 19, God wasn't in the earthquake or the fire. He was in the whisper. And Job 33 says, God speaks in ways we don't always perceive. Maybe God whispers because he wants us to lean in close, not just to hear, but to connect. He could thunder if he wanted to, but so often he chooses the whisper. Love doesn't shout for attention. It draws near and gently calls your name. And in those whispers, we find three truths. God loves you. God is for you, and God is in the details. So when it's 3 a.m. and when the world is loud, lean in. God may be whispering what your heart needs to hear. Okay, did you hear what I just said? Can you hear the words coming out of my mouth? Okay, good. Just checking, because my husband tells me sometimes he can't. I think it's selective hearing. But today, he actually has the ability to turn the microphone off. So the title of this message is Three Truths About God. And if you don't take anything else away from today, I want you to take these three things with you. God loves you, God's for you, and he's in the details. You might know that in your head, but do you know it in your innermost being? So the first truth, God loves you. This isn't just a broad Jesus loves everybody statement. This is personal. God doesn't just love humanity. He loves you. It's specifically, individually, and unconditionally. His love is not based on your performance. It's not withdrawn when you mess up or when you feel unworthy. It's steady, it's everlasting, and it's pursuing. But let's be honest, it's hard to really grasp. We've been taught since childhood to pick a favorite color, a favorite food, even a favorite person. So when someone says, "You're God's favorite," we might think, "Wait, how can that be true for me if it's also true for Mary Kay or Jenny or anyone else?" That question reminded me of a message from Family Circus. The magnet read, "How do you divide your love among four children?" And the answer was, "I don't divide it, I multiply it." That hit me in a special way because I had four kids. And let me tell you, when someone asked me if I had children and I said yes, four, I always got that wide-eyed look like, "How do you manage that?" But here's the truth. My love didn't get divided four ways. It multiplied. Each child had my whole heart, and if I, with my imperfect human love, could love like that, how much more does our perfect Heavenly Father love each of us? So when I say that God loves you, I don't mean he's slicing up his love into tiny portions to spread around. His love is multiplied. You are not overlooked. You are not second best. You are his favorite, right alongside every other one of his children. You might not feel loved, but that doesn't make it untrue. God's love isn't a mood, it's his nature. Psalms 139 says, he knows when you sit and when you rise, every word before you speak it. He knows everything about you and still delights in you. John 10:27 says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." You are not too broken, too far gone, too much, or not enough. You are loved right now as you are. I'm going to take a little break, you guys. I'm going to take a drink. My throat's really dry. It's easy to say God is love, but in hard times, that truth can feel far away. When prayers go unanswered, when people let us down, or when we feel like we've messed up too much. How do we know God still loves us? Here's how. God showed us his love through Jesus. But God demonstrated his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:8. God didn't wait until we had our act together. He sent his son to die for us while we were still broken. That's not distant or conditional love. That's sacrificial, pursuing love. Secondly, God created us on purpose with love. "I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with unfailing kindness." Jeremiah 31:3. From the very beginning, God designed you with intention. You are not random. You are not a mistake. You were wanted, loved before you were born. And third, God's love is not based on how we feel. Our emotions shift. God's love does not. You might feel distant, unworthy, or forgotten by God, but God says, "I will never leave you or forsake you," Hebrews 13:5. And Romans 8:38 says, "Nothing can separate us from the love of God. And here's the truth. Nothing, not even your own mistakes, can separate you from His love. His love sustains you, transforms your weakness when you yield to Him, and holds you steady in every season. We don't have to earn His love. We just have to receive it. And fourth, God's love transforms us. When we truly believe we are loved by God, it changes everything. We stop striving for approval and start living from a place of peace, identity, and purpose. So don't just know it in your head. Let this sink into your heart. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are chosen. You are deeply loved. You don't have to wonder if God loves you. He's already proved it. You can look at the cross and know you are deeply, eternally, and unconditionally loved. Which brings us to the second truth: God is for you. Sometimes life makes us feel like everything is against us. But even when the enemy whispers lies and circumstances seem hard, this truth stands. If God is for you, for us, who can be against us? Romans 8:31. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. Exodus 14:14. God isn't just passively observing your life. He's actively for you. He's not keeping a tally of your failures. He's not secretly disappointed in you. He's not withholding good things to teach you a lesson. God is your defender, your advocate, your strength when you feel weak. He's for your restoration, your growth, your purpose, your joy. You're not alone in the battle. He's already gone ahead of you. So it's one thing to believe God loves you. It's another to know He is for you. A lot of people believe in God, but they aren't sure that He's actually on their side. They picture Him as distant or disappointed or maybe just too busy to care about the details of their lives. But Scripture says otherwise. If God is for us, who can be against us? Let that sink in. The God who created the universe is for you, not just for you in theory, but actively involved in your life, cheering you on, fighting your battles, and providing what you need. So God is your defender. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still, Exodus 14:14. You don't always have to prove yourself, fix everything, or strive. God sees you. He knows what you're facing, and He's already gone ahead of you. God is not keeping score. He's offering grace. We sometimes think God is disappointed or frustrated with us, but the truth is, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, Romans 8:1. So if you've messed up, He's not holding it over your head. He's offering a fresh start every single day. God works for your good. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. Even in the hard things, the confusing things, the painful things, He's at work. Nothing is wasted. He's for your healing, for your purpose, for your future. So when doubt creeps in, when fear gets loud, when life feels like it's stacked against you, remember this: God is not against you, and He's not neutral. He's for you, and if God is for you, that changes everything. Which brings us to the third truth. God is in the details. I'm going to take a little break again. Your throat is so dry. It's easy to think God is only concerned with the big stuff. Salvation, eternity, major life decisions. Sometimes we trust God with the big stuff, but forget he's present in the little things too. The truth is, he's in the details. Not a single moment in your life escapes his notice. Not a single tear goes unseen, and not a single prayer goes unheard. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny, yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care? Even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Matthew 10:29-30. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Proverbs 3:6. So God is not distant. He's deeply personal. He cares about your appointments, your anxieties, your relationships, your needs. He is in every conversation, every intersection, every closed door, and unexpected detour. God sees you. When Hagar fled into the desert, feeling used and forgotten, God met her there. She called him El Roy. I don't know if I pronounced that right, but that's what I'm going with. Because my husband said that's how he's pronounce it. Okay. So the God who sees, Genesis 16:13. You are not invisible. Even when no one else notices, God does. God guides you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Whether you're facing major crossroads or tiny everyday decisions, God promises to direct your steps. And God provides in unexpected ways. Think of the ram in the thicket for Abraham, manna in the wilderness for Israel, or Jesus telling Peter to find tax money in a fish's mouth. God is creative and intentional in how he meets our needs. Sometimes we only recognize God's presence in hindsight, but if we slow down, we'll start to see he's been there all along. God is in the text that encouraged you, the parking spot that opened up when you were running late, the friend who checked on you right when you were about to give up, in the laughter, in the traffic, in the tough conversations, in the 3 a.m. wake-ups. He sees you. He's working even when you can't see it yet. From the tears you cry to the dreams you dare to pray, he is in it all. Nothing is too small or insignificant for him, because love pays attention, and God is love. You can trust him with the details. He's already woven them together into something good. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. Romans 8:28. So I'm going to share a family story with you. And this is something that Nate's cousin wrote. As I gathered my things to go to work, my eyes rested on the Civil War remembrance quilt hanging on my laundry room wall. It's called that because the fabric is like fabric that was printed during the time of the Civil War. My mother, now this, which would be Nate's aunt, made the quilt, leaving out one circle in honor of my great-grandfather, who came home from the Civil War with a bullet hole in his coat, but no wound. He was a wagoneer who drove into the thick of battle, bringing supplies and hauling out the wounded. As I reflected on this story, tears came to my eyes. I was reminded that God is faithful to all generations. Had the bullet gone a little further, none of my family would be here. Surely God saw my grandma, my dad, all the way down to my grandson when he stopped that bullet. Not only that, he also knew the people our lives would touch when that bullet fell to the ground. I imagine God's hand on the inside of that uniform saying, no, as he saw the faces of so many. That's the truth in all our stories. The choices that others have made in the past have affected that we are here in the present. The fact that we are here is nothing short of a miracle. My prayer for you today is that you walk in wonder with eyes wide open to the world around you. May you find joy and delight where previously it may have passed you by. May you see beauty and stop to take and behold it, and that God would give you a glimpse of his upside-down kingdom and show himself to you as he truly is. So when I read this story, it reminded me that God is in the details, not just today, but in the past and future generations. Nate's great-grandfather came home from the Civil War with a bullet hole in his coat, but not in his body. One small detail and generations were changed. That bullet never hit because God had already written a bigger story. The same is true in your life. From the text that comes at just the right time, to the parking spot when you're late, to the friend who shows up when you're weary, God is in it all. Nothing escapes his notice because love pays attention, and God is love. So, what do we take away from today? God loves you deeply, unconditionally, and eternally. He's for you, not just in theory, but in action every single day. And God is in the details, from the tiniest concern to the biggest battle. No matter where you find yourself, on the mountaintop or in the valley, these truths are your anchor. Let them steady you. Let them shape how you think, how you pray, and how you live. Let them remind you, you are not alone, overlooked, or unloved. You are seen, you are held, you are guided, you are loved, and that changes everything. So I have a prayer to close with, and let's pray. Father God, thank you for being a God who loves us personally and deeply. Thank you for being for us, even when we doubt it, even when we don't feel worthy. And thank you for being present in every detail, both seen and unseen. Lord, I ask that these truths would settle into our hearts today, that they wouldn't just be words we hear, but truths we live by. Remind us this week, in the quiet, in the chaos, in the waiting, that you are near. Help us to lean in to hear your whisper, to see your hand in the details, and to walk confidently knowing we are loved, held, and never alone. In Jesus' name, amen. So as we close, if there's prayer friends that could come up, and if the worship team is going to come up and finish with the song, you can do that at this time. But I just want to give you space to respond, not to me, but to God, who has been whispering to your heart today. Maybe you needed to be reminded that you're loved. Maybe you've been walking through something and questioning if God is for you. Or maybe life feels out of control and you just need to know that he sees you, even in the details. If any of that hits home, I want to invite you to come forward, not because you need to fix something, but because God wants to meet you here. This isn't about emotion, it's about encounter. It's about leaning in. You don't have to leave today the same you came. He's already here and he's already speaking. Come and let him remind you, you are loved, he's for you, and he's in it all.